you're also going to do the third, but you're going to repeat.
Right.
The third session is going to be the
same.
Bill is a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Seminary at Fort Worth. Served as Minister of Education at First Baptist Church, Jackson, Mississippi. And Johnson Ferry Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Retired but actively served as an elder and life group leader at Sanctuary Church in Kennesaw, Georgia. Did I get that right?
You did, yeah.
And without further ado,
Thank you, Dale. Great to be with you folks tonight. We're going to run. This is going to be about 55 minutes, and we're going to get you out of here on time. Dale is going to give me a high sign at 8:50, and that means I've only got a couple minutes left. So, but I'm glad you're here tonight. Thanks for giving your time. Piggyback on what Dr. Fleming said, and that is how much we appreciate you as life group leaders. It's my understanding a lot of you are directors, right? Directors of life groups. Is that correct? Good.
Yes.
Fantastic. Man, I want you to know how much I appreciate you. I've been in ministry 41 years and retired about 3 years ago from full-time ministry. Did education ministry all those years except for about 2 years as a student minister. And it's the Sunday school leaders, Bible study leaders, life group leaders, life Bible study leaders, whatever you want to call you. These are the folks that if I had any success in ministry, it's folks like you that gave me success in ministry. Because I really found out, and in serving on church staff and serving in education ministry, it was the lay leaders, the volunteers that were a part of our team in the particular local church. They were the folks that did the work and made the church a success, made me, if I had any success at all, made me successful in ministry. So I want you to know how much I appreciate you. I want to say a word of thanks to Ben Pritchett. Ben followed me. I served the Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, Florida, then left there, went to the First Baptist Church of Jackson, Mississippi. And when I left First Baptist Church, Jackson, Mississippi, I went to Johnson Ferry Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia, and served there the last 21 years of full-time ministry. And Ben followed me at First Jackson. So when I left First Jackson, they then called Ben from Atlanta to come to Jackson. I went from Jackson to Atlanta to serve. So I've known Ben for a lot of years, good friend, and I appreciate him and his friendship and ministry through the years. I accepted Christ at age 15 at Falls Creek Baptist Assembly in Falls Creek, Oklahoma. There was a young preacher boy there by the name of James Robinson. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of James Robinson. But James was about 22, 23 years of age, and he was preaching at Texas Week at Falls Creek. I was in Kentucky, in a youth group in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, and I know you're thinking, well, how did you get in Texas Week? Because only Texas churches are supposed to be at Falls Creek that week. We had a youth minister at our church at the time named Billy Foote. Billy was from East Texas, and he knew some people, and they let us in. So we're the only group outside of Texas, a bunch of Kentuckians, a bunch of Kentucky kids. But it was on a Tuesday night, kneeling on a concrete floor at Falls Creek Baptist Assembly, that I gave my life to Christ. My pastor was a guy named Lewis Drummond, and I knelt beside a chair, and he led me to Christ that night. Incredible experience. I got to go back a lot of years later and lead a conference at Falls Creek, and I took my wife to the very spot. That concrete floor was still there, and those old chairs were still there. And I got to show my wife where I gave my life to Christ that night as a 15-year-old kid. Been so privileged to serve in ministry. 3 churches, 4 pastors in 41 years. Now I'm retired, and I'm getting to serve in the church where my oldest son, is a student minister. And that's a blast. I am now Troy's dad, and I love it. I'm getting to serve as an elder there and leading a life group and having a ball with it. I want us to talk tonight, and I want to share with you out of my experience as a life group leader for, I guess, about the last 23 or 24 years. First two churches I served, the first church we were doing two Sunday schools. The second church I served, we were doing three Sunday schools and three worship services. And I never thought about leading a life group. If anybody would have mentioned it, I would have said, how am I going to do that? I got three Sunday schools I'm trying to keep up with. How do you make that work? When I got to Johnson Ferry, after about a year, my pastor called me in and he said, Bill, I want you to lead a life group. I want all of our staff to lead a life group. And my first thought was, preacher, how do I do that? We got three Sunday school, three worship services going. How am I going to have time to do that? But he said, you need to do it. It was been one of the greatest blessings of my life to get to serve and get to lead a Sunday school class or a life group or whatever terminology. And we'll use we'll interchange the terminology tonight. But been a great blessing. When I retired, my wife said, when we retire, if our son is still in the area, we're going to his church. And I said, okay, you follow me 41 years, I'll follow you. And so we went to that church, and I sat for about 9 months. And I'll have to admit, I liked it, going to worship, and I didn't have 100 things on my mind, and 90 people coming up, you know, and asking questions and that kind of thing. I kind of enjoyed that. But after about 9 months, I'd had enough of that sitting and not doing anything. And so we started a life group from scratch. And we'll talk about that, a little bit about that tonight. And that's what I want to share. I want to share with you tonight out of my own experience as a life group facilitator, director, leader. This life group I'm leading now is really different from the others. The other life groups that I've led in the past have been very homogeneous, no ethnic diversity, very little age diversity, pretty much like people, of like color, of like educational background, economic background. I'm now leading a life group, co-facilitating a life group. Let me tell you what we have in there. I have a young lady, 23 years of age, who a year ago was selling drugs on the street of Atlanta to raise money for a family of seven. I have another young lady in there, single lady, 30 years of age, who was on the streets of Atlanta and through a ministry was pulled off the streets and is now the house mother at 30 years of age, the house mother for a rehab house for young ladies that they're helping to get out of that lifestyle there in the inner city of Atlanta. And it's exciting. It's incredible. Got ethnic diversity in there. I've got singles and marrieds. I've got ages 23 to 70 in there. I've got several individuals in there who don't have anything. They're very poor individuals. And I've got a guy in there that runs his own construction company, and he has his own jet airplane. It's crazy. But we're having a blast because we're getting into the Word together, and we're ministering to each other, and we're helping each other. And we're loving on each other. And God's making a difference. God is doing some great things. And so I want to share with you about some of that. Our topic tonight is bringing new life to your life Bible study. Bringing new life. And Ben asked me to talk, first of all, about relaunching. How do we relaunch a life Bible study group? And I've had a little experience with that. The very first way that we can do it is we can reorganize or relaunch annually. Now, I don't know how you all do it here. Do you all launch your new church year, new Sunday school year in August or in January or what?
August.
In August. Okay. So that's the first way that you can relaunch. You can begin anew in August, in the new year, as you begin a new church year, a new Bible study year. What changes might precipitate doing a relaunch in August of a life Bible study group? What might precipitate that? Because a lot of times with our life groups, we just keep them going, don't we? They just keep going year after year. Why? What reason? What way? What? How would? Why would we have to relaunch?
People moving into other groups or leaving your group?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have a movement of folks from one life group to another, so it's time to relaunch because you need to bring new people in. Yeah, good. What? Any other ways?
Your leadership. Maybe people need an off-ramp to... Sometimes people aren't willing to step up and say, hey, I don't really want to be a leader anymore.
Right.
So you may give them the opportunity to say, hey, you know, we're starting a new year. Is this a good opportunity? Or, you know, do you still want to commit to another year of being a leader?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. The relaunching through bringing in new leadership or through, changing your leadership team up is a way to relaunch and to do a restart. Yeah. And that can bring new life, too. Yes.
Splitting your class to grow a new one.
There you go. That's an excellent way to relaunch. You've grown to a certain point, and you realize you've kind of plateaued or leveled off. And so the decision is made to, we don't want to split or say divide or that kind of thing, but we essentially birth a new group. And so we relaunch, or we launch a new group out of existing group. We did that in our life group about 3 months ago. We came to the point where we had a room that would seat about 30, and we were running about 25 to 30 in there every Sunday. And there were some Sundays when we couldn't get everybody in the room. And I saw the opportunity to birth a new group. There were some folks who came into our class who I knew personally, and I knew they had the ability to lead and that they had led a life group in another place. And so I pulled them aside and said, hey, we want to launch a life group out of our group. Would you be willing to take the leadership? And they prayed through it, and they said, yeah, we'll do that. And so we set a date, launched that. We found two teachers, a co-teacher situation. And I said to our group, I'm not trying to run any of y'all, but we're birthing a new group, and we need 8 or 10 of you to go. And guess what? 14 left. A little more than I was thinking about. But I said to them, you need to understand, folks, I don't want any of you to feel guilty about leaving here. Because this is how we're going to grow. This is how we're going to reach more people. And those 14 individuals left, went to that group. And the first Sunday, they had 25 in their life group. We had 24. If you look today, our group is back running 30 to 35. And they're running 25 to 30 in their life group. Just after, we just essentially doubled. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy how that works, isn't it? Yeah. And it's exciting. The only thing is, I think my group realized that we're going to have to do that again pretty soon. Now, I've had a couple folks pull me aside and say, Gambrel, we ain't doing that again. Now, don't talk about this dividing thing again. I said, well, you know what we said when we started the first life group? We're going to divide and multiply. And so we just get ready. Because it's coming. And we're beginning now to pray through how do we do that? How do we birth another group out of that life group? Somebody else, how do you relaunch? Why do you relaunch?
I think, like, here we have a wide range of sizes of classes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're challenged with is we're supposed to be developing leaders to help out the classes that only have 6 or 8 people in.
Right.
So they can start branching out.
Good. Yeah. Good way to a good reason to relaunch a group. Let me ask you this. Let's talk about a second way to relaunch, and that is you essentially shut the class down and then you come back at some other period and relaunch a new group. Let me tell you what I mean there. I see a couple of you kind of looking like, what? When I was at First Baptist Jackson, Mississippi, we had a guy named Marvin Elliott. Marvin had been a chemistry teacher at Mississippi College there in Clinton, right outside of Jackson. And he found out after a couple of years that he couldn't support a family on the salary of a professor at Mississippi College. And so somebody invited him to come work as a stockbroker. He got into that. He was very successful at it. But Marvin had a love for young adults. And he started a Bible study group, a life group for young adults, for young marriage. And it took off. And Marvin would have them in his home. He had cookouts. He had a big home. And he was always trying to connect with these young married couples. His wife was a great helpmate. And she connected with these young married women. And he grew a class. In about a year and a half, he grew a life group of about 25 or 30 of these young marrieds. In about year three, he came to me, he said, "We're not growing anymore." And he said, "I think it's time to relaunch." And I said, "Well, Marvin, how are we going to do that? These young couples, they love you and your wife. They love being in that. How are we going to do that?" And he says, "Here's how we're going to do it." He said, "I'm quitting." I said, "Well, wait a minute, what?" He said, "I'm out of here." He said, I'm going to explain to the class that we're backing away. And we're going to find new leadership. And the class is going to keep going. But he said, "We're going to back away from it." Now, I have to tell you, folks, my first thought was, I don't know about this. I'm not sure I can buy into this. But I said, okay, let's try it. So Marvin announced, on promotion day, promotion Sunday in August, I'm no longer going to be leading the class. And behind the scenes, he had kind of handpicked some folks and trained some folks. And he walked away from it. But a year later, Marvin came back. He said, "I'm going to launch another one." And about every 2 to 3 years, Marvin Elliott would launch a new life group. He'd move away from the group that God had helped him build, and he stayed out for a year, and then he would relaunch again. And I don't know how many, probably six or seven life groups that he helped birth over, 15, 20-year period. Just incredible. That's a way that you can bring new life, that you can relaunch. One other way. Yes, question.
But he could only step away because he could identify new leaders in the
exactly
staff.
Right.
He knew those who were doing their assignments, who was participating, who was there consistently. So he didn't just walk away.
That's exactly right, Joel.
He identified... He already knew in his mind who were potential leaders.
He did.
And you got to be aware of in your class who are potential leaders.
Because, exactly right.
I think someone mentioned over there that we are supposed to create in our class
right.
new leaders, and that's the whole purpose, the whole thing,
yeah.
So to multiply.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Was that a married class that he was?
It was. It was a young marriage.
Okay.
It was the 20s to late 30s. Yeah, a young married group. Yeah.
And the reason why I ask that is because I'm a part of the leadership team in a singles class.
Uh-huh.
And I've been in this class since the very, very beginning. We used to have 30, 35 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dwindled down. And we get an average of 3 to 4 visitors a week.
Wow.
And I have taken it upon myself to send thank you cards to each and every one of those visitors.
That's great.
As well as looking at the attendance, and anybody that hasn't been there in at least 3 months gets a "We miss you" card.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that. But I've not seen any growth.
Mm-hmm. It may be that it's time to sit down with some of the key leaders in your life Bible study group.
Okay.
and do a heart-to-heart evaluation and just say, and you don't involve the whole group. You just pull three or four or five of the key folks, the leaders, of course.
Exactly.
But sit down and say, let's evaluate. Let's take a look at this. Why are we not?
Well, I thought it might be because we were just seeing each other on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So what I did this, I kept coming, trying to come up with some ideas on how to make a change. Mm-hmm. And so what I did this last Sunday is I take attendance too. So I said, okay, I have someone that helps me. And I put two pieces of paper out there because we were having problems with people committing to our outside activities mm-hmm. as a class. And we did some awesome things. So I just put two sheets of paper, and one was titled, Your Favorite Activity, Your Favorite Restaurant. And I thought, I'm going to put it back on you. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I know to get these people to come, yeah. maybe to their favorite restaurant, or to participate in their favorite activity. But we have people within our class that do, as a small group, mm-hmm. things outside of the class.
Yeah, and I think that I encourage all life groups periodically to do some type of evaluation, some type of questionnaire, some type of a survey of the life group members to say, how can we improve? How can we improve the outreach? How can we improve the involvement? How can we improve the teaching, learning experience? We just did one about probably 4 months ago, and we were preparing for the holidays, and we wanted to we wanted information about who was going to be around over the holidays and that type of thing. But right. we also wanted information about, are you interested in some fellowship activities? Mm-hmm. We asked, too, about the teaching and said, we map our own curriculum. And so we said, give us some ideas about what you would like to study or what topics would you like to cover. And we got some great input.
Okay.
And the thing that was exciting to me was some folks really got excited about the fact that we did a study that they had recommended. And the participation increased because it was scratching an itch, if you will, in the class. It was meeting a need, a felt need of folks in our life group. So, yes?
Yeah, based on what, I'm just going to piggyback on something you said, you know, if you have a diversified class in a diversified socioeconomic classroom, mm-hmm. if you put out, you know, what's your favorite restaurant, what's your favorite activity, there's some people that can't afford to go to restaurants, some people that can't afford to go to activities,
right.
so you leave them out. So it has to be something that, if you're going to present that, you got to make sure you have some extra people willing to pitch in, a little kitty for people that can't afford, you know, that's
yeah,
important.
Good.
Because you don't want them to be...
Well, we only go to eat out once a month.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Physically, I think.
Yeah. You have to be cognizant of that.
You have to be cognizant of that.
Yeah.
And it's usually, you know, something relatively inexpensive.
Right,
right. Thank you for the idea.
Yeah. Again, the relaunch is stopping and then restarting. And another way that experience that I've had is when I was at Johnson Ferry, serving there at Johnson Ferry, we planted a new campus. The campus pastor we had to let go for integrity reasons. I was over both campuses. And so my pastor said to me when we had to let this campus pastor go, he said, Bill, you got to go. You got to be out there every Sunday. You got to serve as the interim pastor of this second campus. I'm leading a life group. I'm thinking, now how am I going to do that? I'm out there. They're meeting here. And so I had to say to the life group, hey, I've got to move away. I got to move away from the life group. My co-teacher, co-facilitator, we were coming to the end of the church year, Sunday school year. Co-facilitator said, Bill, I'm really feeling God leading me to take a sabbatical. And so we simply went to the group and said, because of my situation, because of Holly's situation, we're going to disband the class as we begin a new year. We didn't want to do that. We couldn't find anybody to take the group that would agree to give leadership to it. And so we disbanded it. I served out there 8 months, came back. Within 4 months, we were getting ready to start a new Sunday school year, new church year. I called Holly. I said, Holly, you ready to go back? She said, I've been praying about that. Yeah. And we said, let's relaunch. Here's what we found. About 60% of the folks that were in our original group had never reconnected. We checked the records. They were coming to worship, but they had just not reconnected with another group. So we relaunched. We got a group of those folks together. Did not go after anybody who had reconnected with another group. But the ones that we knew that had not connected, we said, let's get together. We prayed through it. We talked about it. We got the blessing of the church leadership. And we said, we're going to relaunch. We relaunched, though, folks, with some different goals. We set some different goals and parameters for this new group. And we got that small nucleus to buy into those ahead of time. We did set some new goals about mission involvement. We set some new goals about how we were going to do the teaching. We set some new goals about fellowship, how we're going to do fellowship. And we essentially, when we relaunched, we said, the teachers aren't going to do it all. In this new arrangement, we want more involvement from you. And we said to them, will you commit to that? And we got that commitment. And then we went through all the logistics, set a launch date, got a room, and we kicked that thing. We relaunched, and it brought new life. And we saw that thing really take off and grow. And we re-engaged folks who had backed away from involvement in a life Bible study group. So those are some ways to relaunch. Ben asked me to talk about repurposing your life Bible study. You got a life Bible study, you want to set some new goals. When I went to Sanctuary Church, where I am now, they asked me, the first thing they asked me to do was teach a Sunday Bible study. Didn't call it a life group, wasn't going to be a life group, just going to be an 8 to 12 week study, Bible study, on the book of Nehemiah. And so, first Sunday, I think we had 4 people. Second Sunday, I think we had 5 people. And after about 6 weeks into this study, we had maybe 3 or 4 couples that were coming, but they were already hooked to a life group that met during the week. And the small groups pastor came to me and said, Bill, we've got over 100 people that have not connected with a life group. And I said, well, how can we help? Because we got 3 or 4 couples and they already got a life group. So he said, well, maybe we ought to get you to do a life group during the week and try to connect. And I said, great, we'll do that. My co-facilitator, she said, we'll do that. We went back to those 3 or 4 couples and they hit the ceiling. They said, we're not doing that. We don't want to do that. And I said, well, they said, let's become a life group ourselves. And so we had the leverage then, if you will, to say, okay, if we're going to do this, here are some things we want to see. We want to see every member of our life group participate in some short-term mission project. We want to see every member of our life group serving in some area of the church or in the life group. We set some new goals. We got enlisted some new leadership. But a couple of other things that we did was the church did periodically a connection luncheon. It was for people who were not connected to a life group. And so we showed up, sponsored a table. We had 5 couples that at the end came to talk with us about our life group. 4 of those 5 couples stuck. They came, visited our life group, and they stuck. We doubled, essentially. And it was from going and just being there, talking to people, and inviting them to come be a part of the life group. So there's where we repurposed. We went from being just a Bible study to being a life group. Now, I don't know how you're structured here, but I don't know if you offer elective studies or that type of thing, but that's a way to repurpose, to do a particular study, but then to say, we're going to ask you to stick with us and help us launch a life Bible study group. So that's a way to repurpose. And we went through, you know, a lot of the different steps. And, you know, doing a meeting time, getting a room assignment, deciding what our goals were, launch date, curriculum, all that kind of thing. We went through all of that planning, but we were able to repurpose our group, and it brought new life to the group. One other example of that is my former co-facilitator at Johnson Ferry. After I retired, she decided she wanted to take another year sabbatical. So she moved away, stayed out about a year, again, saw that folks weren't reconnecting. And so she came back in and she did a repurpose, set some new goals, some new objectives, and moved forward with it. Moving kind of fast here. The third area that Ben asked me to talk with you about is renewing your current life Bible study. What are some things you can do to bring new life into the group? And is it Lucy? Yes. Lucy's talking about finding ways to bring new life into her group. Let me say right here, folks, renewal has to start with you. Renewal has to start with the leader. If you're at a point with your life group where it seems to have stagnated or plateaued or there's a decline in interest, decline in attendance, that type thing, the first thing that we as leaders have to do is we got to look at our own self. And we've got to look at our leadership team and say, are there changes that we need to make? Are there some areas where we need to improve? And I think that whole evaluation process begins by looking at the spiritual disciplines that we're to be involved in. Now, next hour, I'm going to be talking about spiritual disciplines for the volunteer leaders. We don't have time to spend a lot of time with that. But when I talk about spiritual disciplines, you've got personal spiritual disciplines. You've got solitude and silence. As a leader, what are you doing in that area? As the director of a life group, are you practicing the discipline of solitude and silence? Are you practicing the discipline of prayer and meditation? What does your prayer life look like? What about scripture reading and scripture study? What about self-examination and confession? As leaders, we have to be willing to look inside and say, are there some areas in my life where I'm off base? Is there some sin in my life that's unconfessed? We have to look at where we're at in the area of spiritual disciplines. There's also, besides the personal disciplines, there are the disciplines involving community. And I think we have to take a look at where are we with corporate worship and prayer. The first 20 years of my ministry, there were a lot of Sundays I never went to a corporate worship service. And the way I rationalized that was, well, I'm the minister of education and I'm in charge of all these Sunday schools and I got to make sure everything's running right, that teachers are in the rooms and things are going smoothly. And I'd get busy and I wouldn't get in a worship service. And boy, God really convicted me of that when I went to Johnson Ferry. He used my pastor to convict me of that. Because at Johnson Ferry, one of our core values was that worship is to be our number one ministry priority. And every staff member was required to be in a corporate worship experience every week. Boy, I found out how much I needed that and how remiss I had been by not being in that worship experience. You've got observance of a Sabbath. That's another one of those spiritual disciplines. How are you doing in that area, folks? How are you doing in this thing of having a day of rest? I remember my pastor called me one day. I'd been on staff there at Johnson Ferry about 3 months. It was Friday. It was supposed to be my day off. I'm in the office. And I'm working away. And my phone rings. And it's Bryant Wright. When I heard his voice, I go, oh my goodness. He said, Bill, he said, I was going to leave you a message. What are you doing in the office today? And I said, well, Bryant, I got a lot to do. He said, you ain't got that much to do. He said, your day off, it's your Sabbath. You need to be away from here. And he said, I don't want to catch you down here working on your day off again. And boy, did he ever do me a favor, folks. And I, for all of us as leaders, we need to have those times where we get away. We need a weekly day of rest. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Bill, I got a family and I got... And it's tough. But boy, I want to encourage you, look for ways that you can observe that Sabbath. Find that time of getting away and of spiritual rest. You've got some disciplines in the area of engagement with the world, some spiritual disciplines. You've got evangelism. As you evaluate, what do you do in that area? How many folks have you talked to about a relationship with Christ? How many folks have you invited to be a part of the life group? How are you doing there? Another discipline engagement with the world is caring for the poor. Doing missions. How are you doing in that area? But I think the whole renewal process has to start with you. And you taking some time to say, God, show me some areas of my life where I need renewal, where I need to relaunch, if you will. Well, let's talk about some ways that you can produce new life in your particular life group. One we've talked about already is electing new officers, bringing in new blood into, you know, to help lead fellowships. Maybe bringing a new individual onto the teaching team. Maybe moving from one teacher to two, or from one to a teaching team. That might be a way to bring new life. I think as you look at bringing new life into your life group, you have to revisit the goals of the church, the core values of your church, and say, how are we doing in relation to those? I suspect your staff leadership has some core values, some goals, some purposes that they've set forward. Am I right? Uh-huh. How are you doing with those? I think to bring new life, you need to spend some time taking a look at those and saying, evaluating, how are we doing? How are we doing in the goals, particular goals that we have set as a leadership team in our life Bible study? How are we doing toward reaching those goals? You say, well, Bill, what kind of goals would you have? Let me ask you, what kind of goals do you have for your life group? What are some of the goals that you've set? Huh?
Okay. Safe, comfortable place for people to share.
Great.
Everybody's a representative of Jesus, so we're supposed to be talking to everybody. It's not about evangelism. It's about telling people the good news,
yeah.
And that's a commandment.
Yeah.
And just being able to have a community. We do a lot of socials and small groups, and it's a great way to dinner and stuff like that,
yeah.
To get to know each other.
Yeah.
So it's like a sermon. You can't have too many other people won't remember. Just right. Two or four.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, so we kind of... repetitiously talk about that.
That's good. Any of you have core values for your life group, your life Bible study? I see shaking your head back here. What's one of your core values?
Prayer.
So important in the ministry. What is your core value say about prayer? And by the way, a core value is a statement that describes how you want to do ministry in your life Bible study group.
Well, we carve out time for prayer.
Okay.
Roundtable discussions when we share. I don't remember how it's worded in our core values.
But right.
It's fellowship with other believers, prayer, and evangelism. But once we connect at the table, we share those prayer requests by email and get distributed.
That's good.
And good. Then we have a text chain. Somebody is in critical need of prayer. We just spread it virally.
Good.
Just the Lord moved in a situation like that last week, which was just amazing.
That's good. Let me encourage you too, as you're leading your life groups, look for different ways to do prayer. Yeah. One of the things that I noticed in doing life groups for a lot of years is we would get in a rut.
Yep.
We would do the prayer request, and everybody felt like they had to give some request, and by the time we got finished with the request and the prayer time, we had 15 minutes for Bible study.
Right.
And we said, there's got to be a better way. And a thing that brought new life to us is we decided that we were going to do a breakfast Sunday once a month. And on that Sunday, we were going to come together, eat together. Everybody's going to bring something if they wanted to. Didn't force it. We would eat together, and then we would have an extended prayer time around tables. And then we would have a testimony from a member of the life group once a month. And we would ask that person just to share their story, how they met the Lord, who led them to Christ, what Christ was doing in their life. And then we would pray over that individual. And we would get folks to come up and lay hands on that person, have them stand in the center of the room or sit in the center of the room, and we would lay hands on that individual and pray for them. Have two or three folks. It brought new life to our life group, folks, because there was emotion there. And month by month now, the highest attendance every month is breakfast Sunday. Because folks look forward to that extended prayer time. It allows us then on other Sundays to take less time in the prayer. And I'm not saying prayer is not important, but it allowed us to get out of a rut. And we look now for different ways to do prayer on those other three Sundays. It doesn't mean we cut prayer out, but we do that extended time at that breakfast Sunday around those tables, and that has really helped. But the thing that's really helped is that testimony time, because individuals, it allows us as facilitators to know where our people are spiritually. And we've had a couple of folks that have shared where I had to say, I'm not sure this person knows the Lord personally. Mm-hmm. And there was the opportunity to sit down with that person over a cup of coffee and just say, hey, tell me more about this. Wasn't trying to be judgmental, but you could just tell by, you just had to have some questions. And I want to make sure they knew the Lord personally, that they had made that commitment of their life to Christ. But it evokes that emotion, and folks are able to see, gosh, I didn't know anybody had accepted Christ the way I did or had an experience like I had. And they can identify. And then praying over that person, laying hands on that person and praying over that person really brings emotion. And there's hardly a month now in our life group where the testimony doesn't evoke some tears. And folks go out, it becomes a worship experience, if you will. A life group worship experience, huh?
One of the things we did, because you were talking about how the prayer time can take up your whole hour.
Yeah.
I'm not condemning it at all. So what I did when we took over is we started just taking the prayer requests and put them in a prayer box. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We have a prayer team.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so instead of just having four prayers over during the class, which would take 15 minutes, now we have eight or nine prayers think it's more effective, and it lets our teacher teach longer.
Yeah. And I think you as directors, you've got to determine what's best for your life group. I can't tell you what I do in my life group is best for you. You've got to determine that with the leadership and with your particular group. Yes.
I put the names of everyone that's there that Sunday, and we draw a name and we pray for that person all week.
That's
and you
idea.
Contact that person and find out what's going on. If there's something particular you can pray for them about.
That's good.
And it gets it on a level.
Yeah. One time to time we'll say, pray for the person on your left or pray for the person on your right. We try to change it up and use a variety of methods, but you've got to protect that Bible teaching time.
Yeah.
You've got to protect that because you've got facilitators that are doing the preparation, and you've got a lot of folks that are there. I think just about everybody likes the fellowship, but you've got some folks there, they want to get in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to, as a director, you've got to preserve that time, take that burden off of that facilitator, that teacher. Let me give you a couple more, and then we'll be finished. We won't be finished. We'll just unhook. Yes?
I was just going to interject one thing. We
okay.
just started something new last Sunday, and because I felt like our class was getting a little stale.
Uh-huh.
Same thing, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I just wanted to shake things up a
mm-hmm.
little bit. And so what we did was... our class starts at 9:30, and we have to work in a time crunch because there's a class that comes in right after us, and they're standing there like Cheshire cats in the window running late. So we have to be mindful of that. So on a time schedule, 9:30 to 9:45, we were having a problem in our class where people didn't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a not sit at the table. We're all going to stand up, and we're going to walk around, and we're going to start getting to know someone
mm-hmm.
that you did not know.
Right.
We do that for, we just started that 15 minutes. And I thought that worked out really well
mm-hmm.
for our class. Then we had the lesson. But we have announcements that we have to go through, and I'm usually the first one there. I try to get there way before the class, and we have to set up the room and all that. And I try to write them on the board. But that sometimes doesn't work because I have to be outside to take attendance. And I feel like I'm kind of divided here.
Right.
So, but I think slowly, you know, and everybody's on board. Our the one that teaches our class, and then the co-director, the director,
mm-hmm.
and the co-director, they're fine with. And I just shoot them a text message. Hey, what do y'all think about this?
Sure.
And we tried it, and it worked really well. You know, with everybody, you know,
good.
Talking as opposed to just coming in, sitting down here in the lesson, and leaving.
Yeah. Lucy, right?
I'm Lucy.
Lucy, you've identified, I got 5 minutes?
Finish up.
Okay, 5 minutes. You've identified a key point for you directors of life, Bible study groups, and that is don't be afraid to try something new.
Right.
And it may fall flat on its face, but don't worry about it. Keep, try new things that will inject life into your group. And if they don't work, push them aside. But look for some ways to keep it fresh, to keep it personal,
mm-hmm.
to keep it ministry-oriented. And, man, you'll come up with some incredible things. I've got a whole list here. Let me just run down through these real quickly. Bring new life by changing the teaching style. Look for ways to engage members, sporadic attenders. Gosh, I could tell you a couple stories about that. Change up your format. Change your room arrangement. Went into a class. We were doing the passage about servanthood. Went in the classroom, took all the chairs out of the classroom, put pails of water and towels at different places in the classroom. And when the class walked in that Sunday morning, there were no chairs. You talk about stirring it up. And people are going, what is this all about? Are we in the right place? In the right room? And we actually had the folks gather around those pails of water, three or four around each little container of water, and we washed each other's feet that morning. And I would recommend that for your life group. Once a year, have a time when you wash the feet, when the facilitator, the director, washes the feet of the people in your group. You know, you don't want it to be hokey. You want to do it if you're talking about servanthood, but wash their feet and say something to each individual member of your life group. As you kneel to wash their feet, say, hey, I appreciate you, Joe or David. I appreciate you for this reason. And I'm glad God led you to our life group. You will be surprised, folks. You do that in the right spirit, you'll be surprised how God can use that. There won't be many dry eyes, probably, in that room that day. And you're not trying to do it to be cute or that kind. You're doing it as a personal touch. You're doing it as a teaching tool. We talked about the testimonies. A lot of things you can do. Our time is up. Here's what I want to do as you go. We began by saying you're a superhero. I want to know who has taught or has directed a life group at Houston's First Baptist Church more than 25 years. Anybody? 20 years. More than 20 years. 20 years or more. Tell me your name.
Cora.
You're a superhero. I want you to come up. I've got the ultimate armor Batman.
You've got a grandson that'll love that, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for being a hero.
Don't you do it.
All right, who has been a life group director less than a year? Oh my goodness. Okay, less than a year. Less than 6 months. Less than 3 months.
They started last Sunday.
You started last Sunday.
Wow.
Come up here. I won't have any for the next group, but look here. I have Aquaman, superhero. For you.
I got a 10-year-old
group. There you go. I have Spider-Man for you.
Oh, Spider-Man. Thank you.
Folks, whether you've led for 25 years or whether you've led for 1 week, I think that's amazing. I wasn't expecting that. You're heroes. I want to tell you. And we're not just doing that according to the theme. You are superheroes for what you do. Keep doing it. Keep doing it with passion. And the Lord will bless you, and He'll bless a lot of other people in the process.
Bill, we have to have everybody sign the sign-in sheet.
Okay. Be sure you sign that sheet over there. Most do it. If we missed you, sign that. Look for that text. Thanks for being here tonight.
I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
We're in the midst of maybe doing a team teaching process.
Okay.
How does that work for you? How do you do it? Do you divide it up? He takes two, the other guy takes two, or whatever. How do you do that?
Yeah. There's a couple ways you can divide it up evenly. 1 week,
thank
this
you.
Person. Thank you.
Alternate weeks.
Or you can do a unit if you've got, say, a 4 week.
First John.
Yeah.
Okay.
That person can
and the next the guy does Hebrews.
Next, he does the next. I would hesitate to go much more than about 4 weeks because it puts a pretty heavy load on that one facilitator, teacher, whatever.
Yeah.
But
we have a teacher that's been double dipping since 3 years because we split our class. Uh-huh. Some of them went up to Cyprus, and he was certainly willing to do that. But we're running into he's got double duty. Well, I got this class. I can't make the outing because I'm over here.
That's not good.
Yeah, you don't want a teacher to be just a teacher. You want him to be a shepherd of the flock.
Got to be involved.
Exactly.
So the life of them.
And I'm trying to do it gently.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do it reasonably because we really do appreciate, and some of us really like his teaching as well. So it's a tough deal. So anyway.
Tom, thank you. Appreciate you being here. Thanks. Another way to do it is to. Here's the way that I do it with my facilitator. We sit down, we look at the curriculum, and then we say, what Sundays are you not going to be available? Are there any Sundays?
Sure.
And then I set down a schedule for a quarter.
Oh, yeah.
I give it to my co-facilitator. She goes through it, and we bounce it back and forth. If there happens to be a Sunday where both of us have some other responsibility, then we will bring a person from inside the life group, somebody that we're wanting to train up.
Sure.
We ask them to take that Sunday.
Sure. Sure.
And we just simply set the schedule.
When you get with your teacher and your teacher says, well, I'm good for the next 2 months, mm-hmm. do you always insist, well, one week out of these next 2 months, you need to let your co-teacher teach?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you don't disallow that.
Yeah.
You've got to have somebody else step in.
Yeah, we really try to bounce it back and forth because you've got two different teaching styles.
Sure.
And you've got different learning styles in the life group. You have one person that, let's say, that lectures four straight Sundays. The folks that like the dialogue and discussion,
sure.
it kind of cuts them out. Yeah. And they'll begin to say, well, I'm going to find out what the schedule is.
Yeah.
We just may back off if it's just going to be a straight lecture.
Okay.
You've got other folks that like the lecture. They don't like the give and take.
Yeah, it's not too much. They don't want to jump into
the discussion. So you have the same okay. concern. So I really like the thing of bouncing it back and forth.
Okay, very good.
You get the different teaching.
I appreciate it so much. Thanks, Bill.
I appreciate
nice meeting you.
Here. Thanks.
Okay. She was waiting.
Oh, well, I think he was too, so.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
I serve in the Crown class.
Uh-huh.
I've been there about 6 months. The age ranges from 70 plus to 98. Everybody, I'm